When I think of the month of December, the word that seems to always come to mind is rejoice. And the verse of scripture that comes to mind also is John 3:16. And we've already seen and heard it several times this morning, but I'd like to repeat it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this morning, we truly can rejoice in the birth of Christ. Now, most of us women here have given birth. And when you're pregnant, you think a lot about the child that you're going to give birth to, whether it would be a boy or a girl. You think about all the different things that will come about when they're born. And then when they are born, you watch them grow and develop personalities. You see how God has given them special talents and abilities. But you know, we can't see in the future for them. We see day by day and year by year as they grow and develop. But it was different 2,000 years ago when the angel Gabriel came and appeared to Mary. And in Luke 1, we read about that. We read what took place. And the very first thing that Gabriel said to her was to not to be afraid, that she had found favor with God. He told Mary, who was a virgin, that she was going to be have a child by the Holy Spirit. Now, with Gabriel there, Mary didn't need a sonogram to tell whether it was going to be a son or a daughter. You know, I'd like for you to listen just to hear what it was he told her. He said, the child will be a son, and you are going to call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. And this holy child shall be called the Son of God. And after Gabriel told Mary these things, this was her response. She said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And then on the day that this baby was born, an angel appeared to the shepherds. And we're all familiar with the story, but they were out in the fields with their flocks at night. And the words that he gave to them tell us a little bit more about who this baby was. And in Luke chapter 2, we read, do not be afraid, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What good news. Here, this baby is a Savior. He is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. And isn't this the best news when it says it's for all the people? That includes me and it includes you, this Messiah, God's Son. So today we can rejoice over the birth of our Savior, the Messiah, God's Son. But secondly, we can rejoice because of the life that he lived. Quite often we just think about the birth at Christmas time, but we need to also rejoice over the life that he lived here. And the only glimpse we really have of him growing up was when he was 12 and when he went to Jerusalem with his parents for the feast of the Passover. And after the Passover, the parents left to go home thinking he was with them, but he stayed back, and it took them 3 days before they found him. And he was sitting in the temple with the teachers asking questions and listening intently. And then it says that he went back with his parents, but he continued to be in subjection to his parents. This was the choice that Jesus made. And we don't hear any more about his growing up years until in Luke chapter 3, we learn that when he was about 30, he began his ministry. And we read a lot in the Gospels about all the different miracles that he did. He changed the water into wine. He healed the blind. He cured every kind of sickness. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He made the lame to walk. He even walked on water. He calmed the seas. He calmed the storms. He fed 5,000 and many more miracles. And in John's gospel, it tells us that all these miracles that he did, these 3 years of his ministry, not all of them were written down. And he tells us why exactly Jesus did the miracles. In John 20, 30 and 31, he says, "Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his names." All of those miracles were given to prove who he is and what he's going to do for us. And then another important thing that we learn about Jesus' ministry is that he was tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. This was so that he could sympathize with our weaknesses and understand all of our temptations. He knows and he understands what we're going through and is always there to help us make the right choices, to lift us up, to forgive us when we don't make the right choices. He's there to comfort us, to guide us, and to love us always. So we can rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus, but we can also rejoice in his life. And then a third thing we can truly rejoice in is the death of the Lord Jesus. Several years ago, Jack was speaking at a seniors retreat at Galilean Bible Camp, and his messages were based on Isaiah 53, and he challenged us to memorize that chapter. And it really was a blessing to memorize it, but believe me, it's work. It's always work when you're memorizing, and especially when you get older, it seems. Some verses I learned when I was in my early 20s in Bible college, I can still quote, but I have to really work to keep remembering the ones that I've recently memorized. But there are especially two verses that I would like to share with you. Isaiah 53:5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Can you imagine? He was wounded for us. He was bruised. He was chastised for us. And his stripes have actually healed us. Now, I'm sure the next verse, pretty well, most all of us here can have memorized this verse. It's Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all." And because of Jesus' death, we can have the righteousness from him before God. We can have our sins forgiven. We can have eternal life. And we can have a Heavenly Father that loves us so dearly that he's with us constantly. You know, we are to rejoice over what God has done for us, but I find sometimes life just gets in the way and it's hard for us to rejoice. There have been many changes this past year. There have been heartaches in our lives, disappointments, misunderstandings, poor health. And for the past several weeks, I've been working on this message of rejoicing. And I think it's always a learning curve when you have to be working on a message. There have been some days I just really haven't felt like rejoicing. And a week ago this past Monday, I was doing some lifting in the basement. Now, I've always gone for walks, and I've gone up and down stairs through the years. I've tried to lift things within reason just to stay healthy and strong. But this time, I did too much, and I pulled a big muscle in my back. Well, it certainly was a wake-up call as to how quickly your health can change and how pain can change your attitude. I finally went to emergency on this past Thursday to get checked out. And I got there at 8 o'clock, and as I was sitting there waiting to see the doctor, it just seemed like my Heavenly Father just whispered to me that He had all things worked out for me. Now, the reason this was so comforting is because at 11 o'clock Thursday, I was to have a dental appointment. I'd had a toothache for several weeks, and I was going to a new dentist. And if you've ever been to emergency, you know you can stay there for hours before you see the doctor. But the Lord was really good working things out, and by 10:15, I was out. And I'd even had some x-rays, and it proved that it was a muscle I had pulled. And so I got in the car, and I drove to the dentist. I had looked in the phone book to make sure I had the right address on Pym Street. And I got there in plenty of time. I walked up to the desk and gave my name. And then she asked me how to spell it. And then she asked me what my dentist's name was. And then she told me that I was at the wrong place. I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow. But they were kind enough. I told her who the dentist was, and they found the address. It was on Bay Street. At that time, I was on Pym Street. Now, I always like to be early for things because it eliminates stress. Well, they told me it was across the street from the senior center, and I thought, well, what is the senior center, you know? But anyhow, I got in the car, and I was a bit nervous as I drove down to Bay Street, and thankfully, because I lived here for so many years, I didn't know where Bay Street was, but I actually got there, found the dentist office, and had a couple of minutes to spare. And as I was sitting there, it seemed like the Lord said, "See, I had everything worked out for you." You know, sometimes it's hard to relax and depend on the Lord, but He's just always there for us. And as for the toothache problem, tomorrow afternoon I'm now going to have a root canal. But even with that, I keep thinking, you know, I'm not looking forward to that, but I can once again see how the Lord worked all things out for me. He is just so good for that. And He's worked it out that I can save my tooth and that I can get rid of the pain. So the Lord keeps teaching me to be thankful, to rejoice in spite of the circumstances. He teaches me to stand back and see how he works all things out for me. You know, this life has some hard things in it, but the Lord is there to help us through the difficult circumstances, and truly it is because of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. So we can rejoice in His birth, His life, His death, but we can also rejoice in His resurrection. He doesn't leave us at the death. One story I love on the resurrection morning is when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb on the first day of the week, and she sees that the stone is rolled away and that Jesus' body isn't there. Then she runs and she tells Peter and John and returns to the tomb. And she's so upset, but then she sees Jesus, but she sort of thinks it's the gardener. And she's so concerned until she hears Him say, "Mary." And He opens her eyes. And what a joy for her to see her Savior alive standing before her. then another story that I love in after the resurrection was when two of Jesus' disciples were on the road to Emmaus. They had left Jerusalem and were walking. And Jesus comes along beside them and starts talking with them. And he explains from the prophets all about him in the Old Testament. And you know, they didn't know that it was Jesus. Their eyes were covered there. And it wasn't until they got to where they were going and went in to eat. They asked him to come and sit down and eat with them. And when he started giving the blessing and talking, their eyes were open, their hearts were open to see that it was Jesus. And then he disappeared. And they were so excited to tell the disciples that they turned around and walked back to Jerusalem. And while they were telling the disciples, Jesus appeared in the room with them. And they were all startled and afraid at first. But Jesus once again opened their minds to understand the scriptures and to see that it was he who was alive and that was he was their living Messiah. So, you know, the Lord doesn't leave us just with the resurrection. We can rejoice with his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. But one of the most exciting news is that we can rejoice that he's going to come back for us one of these days. And you know, even before the crucifixion, his disciples were disturbed and afraid because of all the opposition that was against them and that was against Jesus. And in John 14, he gives them these comforting words. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." The Lord wants us to know that he's going to be coming back for us and that he is our living hope. And I love in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that tells us this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And here are some verses, some great verses that tell us of his return for us, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we always be with the Lord." And you know, I love the phrase that says, "And so we shall always be with the Lord." We have so much to look forward to. You know, our hearts can rejoice because of his birth, because of his life, his death, his resurrection, and his soon coming for us. But when it comes to rejoicing, it really is a choice that we have to make. We can look around and see all the hard things in this life that come to us. Or we can humble ourselves before the God who loved us so much, who gave his life for us. Our first choice always is whether we accept the salvation he's so freely given to us. And then if we have accepted this salvation, then we can choose to let him give us the strength and the grace to live our lives and to rejoice in his great love and his salvation for us. So today I pray that each one of us will choose to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his birth, in his life, in his death, his resurrection, and his soon coming back to take us to be home with him. Thank you.